your disciples who couldn't understand Parakriya Rasa. And that's a very it's a technical question, so those who know will know the others. It takes a long time to explain these technical terms. Other questions? Yeah, Miriam?
I have also Prabhupada explain that the little girl Saraswati, who was only 5 years old,
Which girl?
Saraswati.
Saraswati, yeah.
She told some Indians, do you know who Krishna is? And then they said, no, and she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada explained that even she can preach, so everyone can preach. Even if he knows very little, just what he has realized, he can preach. And so I just wonder, because what you read was that
something else, yeah.
That's a very nice question about qualifications of a preacher. Is it enough to just repeat, or do we really have to realize everything we say? Well, there is a general rule in Krishna consciousness that is to talk what one has realized, then it has more strength. And now Miriam gave the example of Saraswati, who said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is questionable if Saraswati had realized that. So should Saraswati just have confirmed herself and confined herself to saying prasadam tastes good, and Saraswati is a 5-year-old child? That part she has realized. Well, I will attempt an answer. First of all, let us stress on the first point. When you have realized something, what you talk about will carry a certain power. That's why we prefer to listen to devotees who are more realized in Krishna consciousness. We have the example which is given about this man, you know, this woman who had a son, Sugar Sick son, and the sadhu who told the sugar this was a hepatitis, or what is his name? Diabetes, yeah. This diabetic son, he told him to come back after 1 week, and then he would tell him to give up eating sugar. So the question was, why didn't he tell it immediately? And the answer was, well, the sadhu first stopped eating sugar himself and then told the other one to give up sugar. This is a secret in communication. If you feel really about something, your audience will also start to feel about it. Once there was a man, the most successful businessman in America, and he came to a university to deliver a lecture, Swami Wirtschafts Universität. And all the students came to that university to listen to this lecture. Do you know what he said? 3 words only. Think. Thank you very much. And then he left. He felt very strongly about it, that they should think on their own, that this is the means of success. And I can assure you, these students have forgotten the 5,000 lectures, each one of them, but this one they have not forgotten. Because he talked about something he felt very strongly about it, and he put it in a very... So this is a secret of communication. Now you might become, well then, what can I really say? Well, talk about the things which are very close to you, which you feel very strongly about. Then your audience will benefit. Now, another point, of course, is that we can deliver the message unchanged, almost like a mailman. He may not even, you know what's in the letter, but he gives the letter and it has some effect. Devotees in Krishna consciousness have made this experience that they, as long as they don't change anything, people become genuinely moved. But it, so there are these two points. I personally think in my life one has to find the middle somewhere. The best is to talk about realizations, but if they are not so high, then just still continue preaching the Krishna consciousness movement and make it your goal in life to become more realized. Yeah, Dirk?
Isn't it that by preaching that is realization?
We have come to an end. Is it not, Dirk says, by preaching we get this realization. That's also a fact. Preachers sometimes think, even if no one is getting benefited, I'm getting benefited if I preach. Like Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore told his disciples, preach to the four walls, even if no one is there. You will be benefited.
Now, in connection to this question, one should only preach what one realizes. Mm-hmm. At what, which point we could preach and really Krishna is God. this I was thinking.
At which point can we really preach Krishna is God?
A kind of realization of Krishna.
What kind of realization is necessary for this? I feel every one of us has realized that Krishna is God in some ways. Mm. In some ways. One devotee once told me, we were eating prasadam, and I never will forget this. He said, you know what, Sachinanda Swami? Krishna is my friend. Because he gives me prasadam. The devotee was very hungry and he just appreciated to get Krishna prasadam and he just felt so much grateful to Krishna. There was a realization. Well, don't you all have this realization how you turn to Krishna? When you do, he helps you, isn't it? Don't you have this realization? When you are on the mentality level, on the mental platform, and you turn to Krishna and helplessness, and something, sometimes the cloud goes away. Isn't that a realization? We all have this realization. It's not that we have no realization of Krishna. And sometimes when you have the darshan of the deities, don't you sometimes think how wonderful he is? Isn't that? Yes, that's the realization. Good, so we will end here, maybe we can call Arjuna, is he around? I saw him chanting his, so just wait, Arjuna Prabhu will give us a little overview what the day will bring for us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Ganita ki jai, Paravetra ki jai, Kora Premanandi jai.
The independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight with the obstacles offered by Maya, but to surrender to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is trying to become completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. This is called a struggle for existence. It's not complete independence. Real independence is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Anyone who goes to the Vaikuntha planet or Goloka Vrindavan planet is freely offering his service to the Lord. That is complete independence. Just contrary to this is material overlordship, which we wrongly take to be independence. Many great political leaders have tried to establish independence, but due to such so-called independence, the people's dependence has only increased. The living entity cannot be happy trying to be independent in the material world. One has to surrender. Therefore, unto the lotus feet of the Lord and engage in his original eternal servizio, service. Now, this is a very important point in our Krishna conscious philosophy. I feel being on Parayatra with all of you, something of that original independent spirit coming through. I really like to walk around, and even the police is, if we ask the police for something, they do it. You know, we are not under the control of the police. We are doing, you know, putting our tent up in the midst of Mannheim. What else do? We eat, and we dance on the street, even in the midst of the traffic, so on. This gives a feeling of independence, and therefore many freedom lovers like to go on Padayatra. The rules and regulations are far away, right? The rules and regulations are still there, obviously, but the ordinary rules of the ordinary day, this is what I mean, ich meine den Alltagstrott zu Deutsch, that is far away, and everything is special, new, extraordinary, and so on. That's why one likes it. As a freedom lover, any freedom lover likes to do it. Now, the definition of complete independence goes, however, further. For instance, we are not independent. Now, I got a terrible sunburn. My face is becoming already boop boop. Water is coming, and then yesterday when we had this wonderful marketplace, I was not independent from my tiredness. I just lay down before the deities to just stretch the body a little out, and before I knew, the whole festival was over and I was still sleepy. Complete independence in this material world cannot be had, because we are always under the laws of material nature. Now you might say, oh, that's not so bad. Why always bring up this point? However, we will see, even all freedom lovers and independent minded people will see what it means to become disease. What it means when you are on your deathbed. What it means when the winter comes and our Parayatra is only a pious dream for a great soul like to be fulfilled for a great soul like Parushuram, but not for the ordinary Padayatri. We are always dependent in this material world, and let us not forget it. If we want the life of complete freedom, we will have to go back to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, every desire of the soul is fulfilled without any obstruction, also the desire for complete independence. Imagine, a tree, for instance, in this world is bound to very specific biological laws, right? Now, in the spiritual world, not even the tree is conditioned. When the Lord comes by and the tree wants to offer the Lord some flowers, it will burst out in flowers. Once Srimati Radharani and Krishna went through the forest of Vrindavan, and Radha saw on the top of a tree a beautiful flower, and she desired it to be put in her hair by the Lord. So the tree understood the desire, and although it was a wooden tree, it bent down low. It was a high tree, and it came down all the way to offer the flower which could be used in the service of Srimati Radharani. This is complete freedom. There's another example for even a thing like a cushion. The cushion was feeling frustrated because it was always lying on the head side of the Lord. It wanted to touch the lotus feet of Krishna. So it freely moved to the lotus feet because it had this desire. All the beings, all the souls, all the and everyone in the spiritual world is begrüßt auf die Dame und sagt, sie kann teilnehmen. Und,
kommen wir noch rein, vielleicht bei dem.
Jetzt kommt sie dann wieder an die Wiese, gell? Los, ich möchte mal die Brinda sprechen.
Die Brinda.
In der Küche ist die, der kommt dann schlecht raus. Ah.
Durch, das durch die Küchenklappe!
Da ist die Lupe da, da kann man mit dir sprechen.
Brinda, aber nicht wirklich. Sagen wir mal, das liegt dir. So, so everyone in the spiritual world is totally free to do whatever they please in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One is not even bound to the strict laws of material nature which keep everyone in the jailhouse of his own conditioning. Complete independence, in other words, with where one overcomes all obstacles is possible if one is in the spiritual world reinstated in his position of eternal service to Krishna. In the material world, service immediately means for us some restriction of one's freedom, isn't it? We would say now, oh, Dayasindhu, please repair the bus. You know, you would have to get, you would feel, I want to sit here now. We are still a little bit contaminated and conditioned by this understanding, even when we come to the process of devotional service. It is described, when you make advancement in devotional service, the third thing which becomes steady is your body. You always do. The second thing which becomes steady are your words. You always speak about Krishna in the service. And the last thing which becomes steady in devotional service is your umski, your mind. Like sometimes a devotee who is not yet steady finds himself doing devotional service, but his mind screams out, when can I ever do what I like to do? Isn't it? That is, the body is engaged, but the mind is not really with it. That's a natural state for the conditioned soul who approaches the platform of devotional service. He may engage his body, but the mind is going wild. Arjuna. He may engage his body, but the mind is still not satisfied to engage in the process of devotional service. We have to come to the platform where not only our body is engaged, but where also our words are constantly engaged, and then our mind is engaged. Padayatra offers this wonderful opportunity. The body is totally engaged, right? How did you feel when we ended our march yesterday? Tired, isn't it? Just eat something and sleep a little bit, isn't it? That was the motto, Dayasindhu. yes, I know you. But this is very good if we exhaust our body in solid devotional service. Pada Yatra also, there we can engage our tongue, which can just sing the whole day. That's very, very good, isn't it, Nimai? Nilambar. And then, at the end of the day, our mind also won't be so crazy. Isn't it, Karada? he's still waiting. this is the process of devotional service. First, start with your body, because it's the easiest. Engage that body in Krishna's slujba, in Krishna's service, full devotional service. If you want to start with the mind, it never works. The mind is the most formidable, formidable. Then start with your words, control your words, and then there is good chance that the mind, our greatest enemy and also our greatest friend, if we engage it properly, can become also steady in devotional service. Do you follow this point?
Yes.
It's difficult to start with the mind. There are devotees in Vrindavan who want to think all the time of Krishna. They go to the Radha Kund and they do bhajan there, but after some time, their mind just drives them crazy and they do things which they actually wanted to give up. Yes. So, let us start to engage our body in full-time devotional service. In this way we can become independent. Yes, by making the body the slave of the spiritual master, we are on the way to total independence. What do you think now? Sindhu is sitting in front and she has to agree. No, you understand this?
Yes.
Because you may be Mr. Independent everywhere. First of all, the laws of nature are still controlling you. And second of all, even versa, the mind, the restless mind controls you. Because on the platform of Anishta Bhakti, that means unsteady devotional service, the mind is the last thing which comes under the control. The most formidable, schreckerregend enemy, formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. But great devotees pray therefore, my dear Lord, please let me engage in your devotional service without stoppage, because that's the chance which we have as conditioned soul. So we will continue in our purpose. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that he wanted material opulence and greater prosperity than that of his great-grandfather Lord Brahma. His begging from the Lord was like a poor man's asking a great emperor for a few grains of broken rice. The conclusion is that anyone who is engaged in the loving service of the Lord should never ask for material prosperity from the Lord. The awarding of material prosperity simply depends on the stringent rules and regulations of the external energy. Pure devotees ask the Lord only for the privilege of serving Him. This is our real independence. If we want anything else, it is a sign of our misfortune. This is, of course, a high estate. Therefore, Yamunacharya says, my dear Lord, when will I escape the service of the senses? And when will I be happy to just have such a befitting master, such a caring, loving master as you, my dear Lord? The devotee on Pada Yatra who engages his body, words and his mind in Krishna's service. Praise to the Lord. So please, my dear Lord, always accept me as your humble servitor. Ayinanna tanuya kinkaram. He says, I am your servant, but I have fallen into this dreadful ocean of material existence, where the sharks as high fisher, of material desires are just chasing me from one place to the other, ripping my legs and my ears and my nose away from you. So, the Lord, when he hears such a devotee asking for his help in devotional service, becomes very, very mercifully disposed. In fact, everyone who just only desires to become reinstated in the position of devotional service, even if he may be full of wrongs, he may do so many things in a bad way, the Lord is prepared to overlook these weaknesses of his devotees, and in the end will give him devotional service to his lotus feet. The lotus feet of the Lord are the most sweetest thing of the universe. They are compared with lotus flowers from which honey oozes out. Honey comes out of the lotus flower. In the same way, someone who has even tasted a little bit of the sweetness of the service to the lotus feet of the Lord will not be able to forget that. You will see, after you have completed your 2 weeks of Padayatra, you will develop a certain kind of sweet addiction, because you have tasted a little bit what it means to engage your body, mind and body, words and mind in the Lord's service, and you will become happy because of that. It is the mind might revolt a little bit in the process of devotional service. You know, you will see, oh, so austere, so this and so that. But if you just don't get out of the fire, your iron heart will melt. And the dirty things will come out of that heart, which are there since time immemorial. So, I really... So, yes. Something which I wanted to talk about more. No, actually I wanted to end here and see if you do have any questions to all this.
Yeah. 100% begeistert von Padayatra, weil sie denken halt, dass in der gleichen Zeit können mit anderen Programmen viel mehr Leute erreichen, viel mehr predigen. Inwiefern, wie powerful ist das Predigen von Padayatra?
Some devotees are not so satisfied with Padayatra as a preaching means, because they think in that time they could with other programs preach much more. So how relevant is Padayatra for spreading Krishna consciousness? This is a question of Bhakta Dirk.
Ja. Ich habe manchmal ein bisschen mehr Eindruck, dass es für einen selbst mehr hilft, als anderen Leuten das bringt. Ja.
Bhakta Dirk has the impression that this Padayatra is more helpful to oneself, the individual devotee, than for the conditioned souls. Now to judge what is Bhakta, to judge this point or to really deal with it, we have to see what do the people think who see us, isn't it? How do the people react? How do they benefit? So far we are 2 days on the road. What do you think is the benefit of the people who come in contact with Padayatra? Is there a benefit? They hear the holy name. They take prasadam.
They see the deities.
They see the deities.
They get instructions.
They get instructions from Gadadha to control the mind and from the devotees. Yeah. To control the mind and from the devotees. Yeah. What else? They get a leaflet from Sivanga. Very good. They take darshan of the ox.
And devotees.
And devotees, yeah.
Yeah, they connect the simple life of the ox cart to the devotees.
They connect the simple life of the ox carts to the devotees. I'm always saying it for the tapes. There's so many who listen to tapes nowadays.
They see the devotees in a natural spiritual environment.
They see the devotees in a natural spiritual environment. But when they hear the holy name, they run away. When they meet the devotees, they say, "Ooh, what are these?" Not all, actually. Not all. When they eat the prasadam, they think, "I rather would have a hinchen and a wurstessen." Wurst. There was a political party who made an advertisement. Wurstessen.
Weißwurstessen.
What? Weißwurstessen. Weißwurstessen. Yes. Elect the SPD. You can eat wurst with that. And they even they have offended Sri Banga. They told him he should go to work. So is there any benefit?
One other thing, we are pleasing Lord Chaitanya, I guess, and Prabhupada. And
Now Arjuna goes back to our first point. He says we are pleasing Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada by following their instruction to spread the holy name.
They are agitated sometimes because they cannot drive so fast.
And they are agitated. Woo! Instead of pleased, they are agitated that they can't drive, get to their place of work. So are we really benefiting the people? This is the question. Once Srila Prabhupada, in talking about public opinion, gave an example of a horse, a coin. If the horse is sick, the medicine has to be stuffed down the neck, and it really is protesting against it. In much the same way, the conditioned souls are so diseased that they are protesting against it. It's a good sign, actually. I was talking with Tribhanga, the monk. We were going together and we heard some remarks of the people, you know, they went like... And I was just thinking, these people are very poor. I really had compassion. I didn't feel offended at all. Because there's such a nice thing, isn't it? Devotees singing on the street, oxen, it looks so aesthetic, even, aesthetic, so artful, such a gesture of kindness for someone to walk around, have a, you know, to make people alert that there is something else, menschliche Einheit in kultureller Vielfalt, such a nice thing, actually, isn't it? Happy faces, smiling, beautiful oxen,
and deities and flowers. It's a festival. It's something so pleasing to look at. But the people are so fallen that they can't actually appreciate it. Some. That's not our mistake. That's clearly their mistake. That's their problem, actually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Tanta Sarasvati Thakur gave an example of his preachers who came to Burma. In Burma, there is a national source. They take all the animals which have died on the street and put them into a barrel and fast, and then they rot. And by this rotting, here only with half a year, otherwise you will be shocked too much. This creates a juice. And they sprinkle the juice on the vegetable. When they really want to eat good, they drink this juice, or spice with this juice. So when the devotees cooked Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's preachers, the smell of the cooking went all over. And the people really complained very severely. This is stinking so much. They don't object when this abominable cancer creating sauce is served and smells. They don't object. But when there's ghee and nice spices, they object. We had this in Hannover also. It was such a nice smell from the kitchen, but the people were just protesting and almost demolishing the door to get into it. And it's their problem. It's not our problem. It's not that we have to change our program or the program of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And coming back to your question, Dirk, this is a different process of spreading Krishna consciousness. We are used to measure the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the amount of books distributed, in the amount of devotees being made, or the amount of Lakshmi being made. But are there no other results? Is this the only possible results in spreading Krishna consciousness? There are many other results. For instance, the amount of conditioned souls hearing Hare Krishna, the amount of conditioned souls seeing the deity. There are great examples in the scriptures who always talk how important this is. Once there was a bird, he was captured by a wild dog and was dragged around the temple three times. The poor bird was dying in the process. So when it died, it took on its four-armed form and went back to Vaikuntha just by having come in contact with the deities in an unconscious way. There are other examples. For instance, there was a parrot of a pandit, a papagai von einem Gelehrten. And this papagai, this parrot, heard every day how this pandit chanted the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So this parrot later was stolen by some thieves and sold to a prostitute. And because it always had heard the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when it was in the house of the prostitute, it always chanted the Sanskrit verses. And the prostitute didn't understand Sanskrit, but the the Bhagavad Gita, even spread by the parrot, was helping the prostitute to give up her sinful ways and becoming a devotee of Krishna. these there are thousands of examples in the scriptures which make the point that just by a mere contact to deities, the holy name, scriptures, people are benefited. It might take a little time before the benefit is maturing. In other words, we can't measure so quickly. Medyutim. But the benefit is there. Why otherwise would the Shastras talk like this? Don't think Krishna is relative. Krishna is the absolute truth. That means everything and everyone coming in contact with him is deriving an absolute absolute benefit. I feel that our movement does well to consider these kinds of effects which are there in our philosophy. As Westerners, we are naturally a little passionate about the dead. And we like to measure everything, you know. Look alone in the sports world. You know, when they drive ski down, they measure now by 1/1000th of a second. Gopal is expert in all the, in this world. 1/1000th of a second. Stimmt das, Peter? Oder sagt er das nur so?
Ja, ja. Schwimmen auch.
Schwimmen auch? Everything. So therefore, just see, 1/1000th of a second. If I'm 1/1000th of a second faster than Daya Sindhu in getting the Maha, I mean, am I really faster at the same speed? So our Western world has become a little. Therefore, Loganath Swami on Bismarckplatz, when he saw all these Kamis being so busy, he said, please relax. Please relax. There's no need to this fast civilization. There's no need. Harmful. So to do Parayatra, it means to switch a little bit from the Western mentality to another mentality. Dasavata told me even that he can well imagine that there will be a type, a style of devotees who will just adopt to this kind of spreading of Krishna consciousness. Or people will meet us and they will also think, oh, this is a nice independent life to walk around. I can well imagine that Tribhanga Prabhu, the monk amongst us, isn't it so nice? You would have to get adopted to it. You could sit on the marketplace, play classical Gita and Hare Krishna, and Polka is there with the violin. It's, what else do we need? Isn't it, Arjun? And let us see how we speak after 2 weeks. Maybe we walk on our Zahnfleisch and we can walk on, you know. Let us see. Okay, is this all right, Dr. Dev?
Yeah.
Have confidence, hab Zuversicht.
But, like, on the other hand, like, we have this very nice ox cart and everything, but we're following this, like, 4 or 5 or 6 big cars. And so this somehow contradicts the whole idea.
We propagate,
don't use these cars and everything. We have so big cars, 20 cars around it. One way, Geschirr and everything. It's not real. It's like a show somehow, maybe.
That's our movement.
Arjuna says our movement is a show.
In many ways.
What do we say now? Garada says, we are not really living that spirit of simple life. We have one way geschirr, one way plates and petrol in our cars, which we move with great energy. I would say Padayatra, the meaning of Padayatra, or what we really want, is to get the holy name to the people. That's what we really are standing for. It's not, I mean, our motto is not simple living, high thinking this time. We have something else in our as our motto. And therefore we just do everything which is good in, you know, reaching our goal to spread, to get the holy name to the people. Because that's our primary goal. That's unser erstrangiges Ziel. Now if you would look for the secondary thing, I also feel if we can find such a type of devotee who just wants simple life, simple living, high thinking, this is one of our mottos. I feel if we would spread this motto, and if that would be our message to the people, we couldn't do this, drive around with buses. Or we should reduce it, at least. It depends. For this you need the proper mood of devotees.
I mean, especially in connection with Padayatra, I have nothing against buses and cars.
Yeah.
But we go to all these places where, like, no people. Why we're doing this? We could go with all the devotees in the big cities, and so many people would see us, so many devotees, Harinam every day. But we're walking slowly with ox carts.
Well,